Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome in to 95.7 The Game. I'm getting music. I'm hearing my voice. I'm all over the place, and I could have had new headphones. Instead, I've got these things from like the 1940s. Jake Hutchinson, Lorenzo Neal.
Jake!
What's going on, fellas? Got you covered for the next...
Four hours? Let's do it.
All right.
We got this.
It's the San Francisco 49ers, and knives are out, apparently. And I guess we'll start right where we just left off. And the latest news coming down hours ago that Fred Warner has been playing with a fractured ankle for the last... Well, more than a month since week four.
Yeah, since
when
Patriots.
He hurt it against the New England Patriots. We talked about it as to why you would disclose it now. Was it something that had underlying meaning to it? Is there something in terms of a rallying call and trying to get to other players to sort of step up against a difficult, difficult matchup against Buffalo? Or is it just simply, to oversimplify things, Jake, it's just not your year, baby.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think if this is your year and you're rolling and things are feeling good, I'm not sure Fred Warner shares that information, right? Because they're all playing well, they're playing good. Why do you have to tell anybody that you're dealing with an ankle injury? And I'm not saying I blame him. I get it. You're being criticized. Your defense is getting roasted after a brutal game against the Packers where you're getting dominated physically, you're getting out-schemed, and Fred Warner... You're the head of it. You know, you run that defense. You got the green dot on your helmet. And so I think at a certain point, it wears on you. He holds himself to that high standard to be an all-pro, all-world player. If you're not at that level and people are asking, why aren't you playing the same? At a certain point, you might just say, all right, yeah, I have been playing through an ankle that's fractured.
Yeah, and I think that even if he was healthy, I don't think there's a lot you can do when you're getting double-teamed and you're getting – offensive linemen that are coming off and able to block you because ace block or scoop block and able to put a hat on you. It's really hard for Mike linebackers at 220, 230 pounds to take on 300-pound offensive linemen that are moving forward, that you are not sitting, you are waiting for those guys. You got defensive front guys that are in your lap. Now you're asked to come off and make tackles. It's possible, but it's not probable. I don't care who you are as a linebacker. I played linebacker for many years. I was a way better linebacker than fullback. I was an all-American linebacker, averaged 16 tackles a game. You put me in as linebacker. At Lamar High, I was recruited for a linebacker. Without a doubt, I would have been drafted higher as a linebacker than a fullback.
Little Sam Mills?
Exactly. You already know. I mean, my instinctive, it was just amazing. But every now and then when you had a guard and a center can able to come off their nose guard, push him out of the way, take him, and then come and double you, I remember playing against the Bakersfield Drillers, and they would double-team me because they knew I was averaging 16 tackles. They said, we're not going to let this guy beat you. Other guys have to make plays. When your linebacker, Mike linebacker, is getting double-teamed, if your Mike linebacker is not able to get to the plays and you got offensive linemen and you have a fullback that's on him, somebody in that interior lineman has to be making plays. I'm just telling you, you ask anyone, get Ray Lewis, get Patrick Willis, and go ask them, when you get blocked by a lineman and guys are coming off to you, it's hard to make tackles. I'm not saying you can't. It is friggin' hard. I played that position, played it for a long time. I'm telling you, it's hard to do. And by the way, with the Tennessee Titans, I was emergency linebacker for the Titans under Greg Williams, who's a DC, because I could play linebacker.
Did you ever get in?
I was ready.
Well, just since we're talking high school days.
In college, I played at Fresno State, played linebacker a couple games.
Yeah, I was a linebacker in second grade.
Second grade,
pair when you're
college,
talking, but linebackers pros. Always want to be clean, right? They hate having to deal with it. Well, how much of this, as we talk about Fred Warner and the fractured ankle, is just Drake Greenlaw not being available?
I think that's huge. Drake Greenlaw, what he did, he covered up a lot of things, and that's why Fred loved him. You see, because, hey, look, Greenlaw could make plays. If Fred's getting doubled, if things happen, if Greenlaw was a guy that could come in and make things happen. But you just, this is more than just about Fred's ankle. This is just about a team, man, that's not playing well up front. They're not playing well in the trenches. They're not playing at the second level well. And it's tough. And that's why Green Bay, and that's why teams have ran the ball with consistency on the Niners. When you can run the ball and run the ball down your throat and there's nothing you could do, it's the reason why the Niners got to put 8-9 guys in the box at times, because you can't stop the run. That tells you there's a problem. You can't sit back and play two safeties and two deep. What does that tell you? Go look at it. It's a problem.
No question. And it's tough. With no Dre Greenlaw, it goes beyond what he's physically capable of. That guy, we talked about it. He's a lunatic on the field in the best way possible. That energy matters. And when you're a team that is doubting yourself a little bit and you're getting, you know, sort of ground into a pulp in the run game, you need a guy like that to come in with that energy, that physicality, and help out a little bit, especially when Warner is being targeted and Devondre Campbell looks like a shell of his former self, and you're asking a lot of a young linebacker and D. Winters or Diamador Lenore, and you're facing teams that are getting to that second level and are clearing those guys out. You just need somebody who can flip that switch, and Greenlaw's a guy that can do it, and it's probably too little too late on that end.
When your corners and safeties and secondaries making a lot of tackles, there's a problem, man. There is a problem. It doesn't, they don't get paid, and that's what Deion Sanders said, I don't get paid to tackle. And sometimes in these schemes, and he's right, but he's wrong, because you do have to make those tackles when called upon. But at times, man, when your interior lineman, your linebackers usually lead the team in tackles because of the fact they're clean. Your linebackers, go look around the league, and defensive linemen usually don't lead your team in tackles. It's the linebackers. But that means you got to do your job. You have four defensive linemen down or three defensive linemen. Their job is to keep one of those linemen clean, to keep them off the linebackers, for linebackers can run downhill and scrape and make plays. If linebackers run sideline to sideline, do the things you would do, you have a defensive front that has an obligation to make sure your linebackers stay clean and they can make tackles and play downhill.
You know, I talked about this in the exchange with Guru and Steinian. Does it get to a point where when you look at the injury to Fred Warner, when you think about Greenlaw, who, by the way, is going to be a free agent, Jake, we can talk about that a little bit later, but when you think about this team going forward, the injuries to Bosa and Purdy, for whatever reason, we can get into Purdy as we always do. He seems to be at least not on par to where he was a year ago. That maybe just not shutting it down, but maybe not getting to the playoffs could be the best thing for this team, so that you can evaluate talent. And the other thing I think that everybody has to keep in mind is that you handcuffed yourself a little bit because you did re-sign and give extensions to Brandon Ayuk, to Bosa going back in the day, as well as Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, and, of course, Trent Williams. So there's not a lot of money because there's a thing called the salary cap in the National Football League. You have to improve your draft status. And so maybe the best thing for this football team, as you had talked about, if they're not going to make a run in the postseason, then maybe we should start thinking about next year beginning this weekend.
No question about it. No, and we've talked about this the last few days, is there's a fundamental issue on both sides of the ball. This is not a team that's really built through the trenches. They used to do that with the defensive line, and they went away from it. And at a certain point, trench warfare. If you're going to be a team that wants to be physical and run the ball, you kind of need offensive linemen who can execute that. And especially on the interior, they don't have that. And so all of these intricate runs and beautifully designed plays that they love to rely on, they just don't have guys that are executing that. They're getting bullied. And when one guy falls back, he's pushing him into another one. And all of a sudden, Christian McCaffrey's fighting for his life to get 2 yards. And so you've got that. And if they lose out, not only do you get rest, but you do get time to evaluate how many of these guys are still linchpins, are people you want to keep around for the future, and what are the positions that you really need to look at in the draft and free agency and say, okay, this is what our identity is going to be going forward.
Yeah, and I wonder if for me, if I'm going to recoup and say, hey, look, I'm going to rebuild and go to the drawing board, I'm going to invest in, we talked about it yesterday, I'm going to invest in the trenches. Football games are won and lost in the trenches. I think that you look and see, what can I get for a Debo? Can I get a 3? Can I get a 2? Can I get a second round draft choice for a Debo? I gotta see what value I have for my players, because you have to look at, I mean, I know we talk about this, a quarterback driven league, but I'm gonna tell you right now, I think there's running backs now in this league that is worthy of the conversation of MVP. Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry. You look at these guys. It's showing now that you need to start paying these running backs. You got a guy, Christian McCaffrey, that, you know, that you get him the right defensive, get him the right offensive lineman. You know what he can do. I mean, it's no longer, when you talk about McCaffrey, you look at what Saquon done. You look at the quarterback. Whose team is it? This is Saquon Barkley's team. The Giants, look at the Giants. They sat there and said, okay, we got to pay the quarterback Daniel Jones, and Saquon is not that important. That just goes to show you he was still getting that team to a playoffs. They were still relevant with Saquon. Look what Derrick Henry, what he was doing, carrying Tennessee to playoffs, and they're talking about, oh, we got to pay the quarterback. It's foolish. These talking heads that talk just about quarterbacks, you're out of your mind. They don't know what they're doing. Analytics, oh, you can't pay. Look, you do pay the running back, and they need to be in those same conversations when you're talking about paying receivers. When you look at a receiver, receivers got to beat a guy, a corner and a safety, two guys. A running back's got to beat a lot more guys. Yeah, you can say, oh, we can just do it, plug in a guy and plug and play. The durability, yeah, for 1 or 2 weeks or 3 couple weeks, yeah. But you're talking about long haul? It's now, and I think that you got to start saying, if we respect McCaffrey the way that we believe that he is, get him the right offensive line, and this guy can be unbelievable. You've seen the kind of runs and what he can do in the passing game run. That's why I think that this league is getting ready to be flipped, and you're going to see running backs starting to get paid. You get McCaffrey the right type of line, and you get those guys to be able to do the things that they can do for McCaffrey. He's in the same. He's got that type of talent.
Running back is in vogue. It's returned to the NFL.
Return,
man.
Baby.
Hello, you're salivating.
Making a push.
You're
You're
drooling as we speak.
Yes.
Jake, I want you to talk about this because, Jake, you cover the team, and obviously you're behind the curtain, and you know sort of the inner workings. There's this sort of philosophy out there that when it comes to the Niners and offensive linemen, as Lowe just passionately detailed, that there's a sense of, lack of a better word, arrogance, that the 49ers feel as though that they can – they don't necessarily need to waste a first or second round pick because they can coach these guys up. They can teach them the system. You got Kucerik, and it doesn't get any better than that. Whereas they need to sort of maybe flip that thinking and saying, as Lowe just mentioned, we need to invest in talent that's plug and play. What do you think?
That quite literally, we asked Chris Foerster, their offensive line coach, run game coordinator. We asked him about his philosophy on all this. And right after the draft, he was saying, essentially, first, second rounds, we'd rather go skill position. There'd have to be an incredible talent. Usually that's off the board. And so they looked like third, fourth, fifth. We can get a guy, and maybe we can mold him, and we can teach him. And that is literally their philosophy. And I think when you look at the way they're built, you might have to reevaluate that. I think the highest after Mike McGlinchey they spent on an offensive lineman was Aaron Banks, who's, I think, having maybe his worst year as a Niner. They drafted him over Creed Humphrey, who is an all-pro center for, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs. It's something where even if you do decide to evaluate that position and put it higher on your board, you still have to get it right and say, okay, do we want this sort of undersized athletic center like a Jake Brendel that they valued, or do we need to be more physical, more athletic in a league that has a lot of guys that are challenging these undersized centers?
If your quarterback is the future and the face of your franchise, and that's the guy you want to build on, if that's it, if that's what, and I'll take that and say, okay, that's it. Follow me here. What did the Chargers do? Name me their two offensive tackles.
You love them Chargers.
Look at those two offensive tackles.
No.
Look at the
out of Notre Dame, yeah. Well, that's Harbaugh for you, though. He's mean potatoes. He's resetting the league. We're going back to the 1980s with Harbaugh.
But he wins in the trenches. You go look at the Chargers, Dobbins, how hard he runs, but it's the line. He said, I'm going to invest in the defense and offensive line.
I think they converted what was a defensive tackle to be their fullback.
Yes.
That's their belief.
Yes. And you look at Baltimore. You look at the teams that – you look at even Bills. Teams are invested in offensive line. You have to be able to – you look at Kansas City. Man, Jones, 95. Look what they're doing. Their trenches, they're not scoring a bunch of touchdowns and just lighting it up, but they're winning in the trenches. You have to go back to say you win and lose football games in the trenches. When the Niners were at their best, the year before last, not last year, but a couple years ago, when that defense was humming, they ran the ball 40, 50 times. You had a dominant offensive line. You had a defense to get after it, and you won in the trenches. Football is never going to change. You can go try to play basketball on the grass and say, oh, I'm going to get all these skill positions. It doesn't get you far. It's hard to play basketball on the grass on a consistent basis and win championships.
And it looks as though, as we had talked about, that 3 yards in a cloud of dust and that mentality, you know what's dying is the spread formation in the NFL. You know how things are cyclical in this league, and it just looks as though, give me a two tight end set, maybe even bring back someone like, you got fullback. Any eligibility, a fullback?
Like you said, it's simple. It's coming back now. Team said, okay, you want to spread us out and do all this stuff? Now we're going to go kick your butt and we're going to go get physical. That's where the Niners were making its hay, and that's what they were doing. They said, we're going to do gadgets, but we're going to be physical in the trenches, and we're going to win football games. Go look around the league now. These physical teams right now, you run the ball, play physical, Baltimore, Kansas City even run the ball. Go look around the league. Look at Detroit. Teams are being physical. That is the pillar of football, trenches.
Yeah, and you look at it, the offseason trend, I think this last offseason, was interior offensive linemen. They started to get paid, and it wasn't even guys that were top of market that were these elite offensive linemen. They were just decent, and teams said, we value them. We're going to start paying them a little bit more, and it brings the market up. I think teams understood the trend and wanted to get more physical on their interior, and they said, that's how we're going to attack that, and I think that reflects what you're saying, Lo.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get to a break. By the way, Lo.
I'm just getting fired up, baby. Let's go. We're talking about physical type of football.
Well, this will fire you up. Saquon Barkley, potentially a running back getting the MVP this year. It's in the conversation. All right, we'll continue to talk about it. Lowe's fire. Every time I do a show with Lowe, I'm ready to run through that glass, man. The guy gets you going. All right, Jake Hutchinson, Lowe Neal, Dan Avone, we got you until 6 o'clock. We're talking about the Niners as they get ready for the Buffalo Bills, only here on 95.7 The Game.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
And for Willard and Dibs, Lo, my man Jake Hutchinson, Dan Avone, we're streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. Head to twitch.tv/95.7TheGame and youtube.com/95.7TheGame to watch us live. If anyone swears, you get to hear it. Subscribe to the channel for all 95.7 The Game content on Twitch and YouTube, and make sure to hit the thumbs up button on YouTube if you like the show, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. You want to take a call, or you want to talk more about the running backs in the NFL?
Let's take the call, and we can run back. We got some time. We got 4 hours.
I don't know, Jake. You think Mike in Santa Clara is coming strong? Because if he's not, man, I got a quick hook here. I'm not like Granny, man. I'll run you if you don't come strong.
You should.
Let's go, Mike. What do you got, buddy?
You know I'm going to come strong. Hey, you know what? First off, Lo, it's great to have you back on the line again and everything. I don't know and understand why you're not a Hall of Famer yet, but you need to be there, man.
Thanks, brother. Love you for it.
I just got to say that first. Yeah. Hey, so with the Niners, I feel like, you know, at this point, it's going to be, and I hate to use the word, it's a tank kind of season. Okay, you have the injuries, you have everything, you're still going to play your players, but how long are you going to play your players that are still in there, that are not hurt, not injured, and what are you going to do with Brock Purdy? Do you sit him out for the rest of the season? You know, we still technically and mathematically still have, you know, an outside shot of winning the division. And I just don't see it this year. I just feel like, you know, it needs to be a season where you just say, okay, it's done. I'm not blaming Shanahan. I'm not blaming anyone in this case. You know, it is injury prone, but you still are in the NFL. You're still an NFL team. You have to play the freaking game to the end. But you don't have the players, and the players that you need are not there. So what are you supposed to do at this point? Do you potentially put Fred Warner, in this case, in potential injury factor? Christian McCaffrey, you know, let's see some more of the young players like Pearsall, Mason, Isaac Garanda, like, you know, all these guys. I want to see more of the younger players at this point to actually do what they need to do. And one last question I have for you, Lo. Are you still driving the caddy?
No caddy, baby. I'm driving that Dodge Ram, baby, that 2500. I'm old school, baby. Old Deezer. That old Deezer.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. I just had to ask. But thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You're not driving that in the city. I guarantee you that.
Oh, I drive that diesel everywhere, baby. Me and old diesel, we go.
Where are you parking that thing downtown?
I just park down here. And then the little,
just on the sidewalk?
No. I got broken into in the city.
I was going to say. It's a matter of time. Well, just getting back.
I don't think, to the caller, yeah. I'm with him. You don't have to necessarily lose, but you play, guys. You're not going to go out here. Shanahan's not going to go out and say, guys, we're going to play to lose the game. No. You're going to go out here. Guys that are hurt and don't need to play, don't play them.
You
still get to get some young guys, get them some game experience, play your offensive linemen, see what you got, see if guys can run the schemes. You know, treat this as still play. Play to still win the game. Guys that can play, able bodies, let them play. The Fred Warners and stuff like that, at times you're like, hey, Fred, how's his ankle? Let's look at this. Let's pull him out. Don't beat the guy up now. If you get out of the playoffs, if they lose a game, I don't think that Fred will – I think that they would take it easy on Fred. Not take it easy, but like – hey, you need to heal up. You've been out there sucking it up, doing those things. If you're at the playoffs and no longer in sight, I would let the guy have to get some time to heal.
Yeah, I think the problem that they're facing is that the NFC West is so mediocre. It's just deeply, deeply, deeply mediocre. And some of these teams, you know, they're going to play each other and they're probably going to cannibalize each other. And you're just going to have teams that are playing with mediocre records, and I'm not sure any one of those other teams are going to pull away. And so you get in a situation where even if when you lose this game to the Bills, you face the Bears. You might be able to pull that off. Who knows what the Bears are? And then you face the Rams and say, all right, well, you know, if we can beat the Rams, then maybe we're right back in this thing. And who's to say that's the most insane thing in the world from the 49ers perspective? But I'm with you. I don't think they're going anywhere. I just think they're too flawed on both sides of their trenches. And, you know, a lot of these guys are hurting. And at a certain point, you might just say, all right, well, we'll take our chances without them. And if we prove that we do have a real chance to win this division, then we bring people back into the fold. But either way, I don't think there's an optimistic outlook for the rest of the season, but I don't think they're just going to tank.
Yeah. All right, that MASH unit called a football team, that being the San Francisco 49ers, certainly banged up. Shanahan, as he always does on a Wednesday, addressed the media and talked about the injuries as they get ready for Buffalo.
Practice today, Aaron Banks, concussion, will be out. Jordan Elliott, concussion, will be out. Flanagan Fowles, knee out. Demo, Lenore, knee out. Nick Bosa, hip oblique out. Trent Williams, ankle out. Christian McCaffrey, just rest. Brock Purdy, right shoulder, limited. Pooney, shoulder, limited. Greenlaw, Achilles, limited. Kevin Givens, groin, limited. That's it.
Lenore, what was the diagnosis?
He just banged knees.
What was it, long-term or... I know he's out today, but just is it a concern that it could be long-term?
He can't go today, but no, we're not ruling him out for this week. Hopefully he'll be able to go tomorrow.
As far as Brock, I think he was limited last Wednesday. He didn't do any throwing. Will it be like that, or will he actually be throwing the ball?
We'll decide when we get out there.
Jacob County's out of the protocol?
Yes.
Kyle, Daniel Jones signed with the Vikings today. It was been reported, I think, that you guys may have had some level of interest. How would you describe your guys' interest in him?
Well, we discussed it. Yeah, that's about it.
of the, well, you said Cowie is out of the protocol. What do you think of Ricky Pearsall, how he looked back there fielding punts, and would you consider making him your full-time guy?
I thought he did a good job. But, no, I mean, we didn't consider making a change or anything. Jake's healthy, he'll probably go, and but we got two good options there. Ricky did a real good job.
I know you guys are off tomorrow, but how much work will you put in despite it being Thanksgiving?
Oh, we're not off tomorrow.
You're not
off. I don't know anyone who gets Thanksgiving off. You know, you start a little bit earlier, you cram a lot in, there's less time in between. Everyone has different ways to do it. But I don't know anyone who gives it off, unless maybe you have like a Monday night game, you have an 8-day week, maybe you could do that. But you just start a lot earlier, you get the players out, you usually don't watch film right after. You usually pick that up the next morning pretty early. So, did you ask when I get out?
I didn't know if you were working or not. I knew you were going to be working, but I didn't know how much.
No, we cram everything in and the players get out earlier, so it allows us to start. You know, we usually do on Thursday nights our red zone. We prepare for our team meetings and everything that we do Friday morning. But everyone gets out, tries to be home with the family by 5. I usually get home around 7 and they're all mad at me. And then I eat my dinner and get back to the red zone.
John on KNBR discussed Trey Greenlaw doing some mock games out there on the practice field. What's that all about? What went into those sort of, you know, sessions to get ready for opening his window this week?
I mean, I didn't watch him or anything, but I mean, that's what all our guys kind of go through who are on IR. Like Huff's doing that this week. You know, you're just not allowed to be with coaches or anything like that until you open their window. So they don't like their first time doing true football drills and everything to be that. So when they go out on their own with their training staff, they're doing less like rehab stuff and more doing like what they would do an individual, a trainer taking them through that, doing the reps of what they do in practice. They try to get a normal practice week in so they can get their yards, all their output and input, whatever it is, for the GPSs and everything that they do in a normal Wednesday practice to see how sore they are on Thursday. Then they do that same thing on Thursday to see how sore they are on Friday. Then they try to have a workout on Sunday to see that. And they do that, and then we open up their window, and then they have 3 weeks to go through that before we can make a decision.
Does it signal that Hufanga's window might be opening up soon as well?
It signals that it's got a chance to.
Fred, after the game, said he didn't feel like the defense was prepared for some of the Packers run looks, and then that's out there in detail, and that's an indictment of the coaching staff and Sorensen. I mean, is that a fair characterization of what happened, and were you disappointed with the level of preparation?
No, not at all. They did two new runs that they hadn't done before. They're not new runs, they're just formations, which happens every week. I mean, that's all we really do. You know, we could try to come up with a new formation around the same run and try to get guys to take the bait on something, and they had a new one and they took the bait twice and got our guys out of a gap, but that's every week.
What sort of lift do you think it's going to be to get Dre back out there?
I mean, we'll see how it goes. So, I mean, it'll be awesome just having him on the field today. We love when Dre's around, whether it's on the field and meeting rooms. Like, I mean, he's 100% ball. Everyone loves him in here, and just watching him fly around out there today will be real fun.
Coach, after watching film from the past game against the Packers, knowing that you're preparing for Buffalo, what have you kind of reflected on when it comes to the miscues and the self-inflicted wounds that you're kind of harping on in practice, if any, taking it to Buffalo this weekend?
I mean, there's not much secret to it. We got to tackle better. We can't turn it over 3 times and 3 drives in a row. The penalties that we can change, a couple pre-snap penalties, 1-12 on the field, one bad holding that we had, those are the ones that we got to fix.
With the weather possibly snowing, how does that impact your, just I guess, your plan, your scheme? Do you have to do extra preparations for that contingencies, or you just shift on the fly?
No, I mean, you got to have an idea of how the game's going to play out and how it's going to go, which you do in every situation. I mean, you have an idea of that if you have certain guys get hurt. You have an idea of that if the weather always changes. You know, when you go into it and you hear that it could be the weather that it is, you take that in your mind a lot, understanding how the game can be. But you don't make a full game plan for that because I've listened to plenty of weather reports that change that day too. So you got to be ready for anything, just like you are with injuries, but we fully understand what the elements may be.
Since CMC came back, you're not really using Durando or Mason that much. I think 7 carries combined in 3 games. Is it their ball security issues is an issue, or is it just the greatness of McCaffrey precludes them from getting on the field?
No, I just think, I mean, even when Mason was going a ton, we didn't get Isaac a lot, you know? So, I mean, we're not just a big three-man rotation team, especially when you have a solidified starter. You know, we're not trying to get Christian off the field more. I mean, we want to keep him fresh and keep him at his best, but Christian's also a guy who gets better as he goes. He's a guy who feels a lot more comfortable being out there. I also don't think the way these games have gone, I mean, we didn't run the ball much last week at all in general. So not many people, I think we got 14 runs. So when that's the case, you're not going on long drives. You only have 13 plays or 14 plays in the whole first half, with one of them being close to a two-minute drive, the others being four and out. It's just not going to work out that way.
Have you talked to him in terms of just how he's feeling? If he feels like he's kind of has the same steps that he had in past years? I mean, that first game looked like the second effort that he usually plays with was there. There just wasn't room to run.
Yeah, I think. We haven't played that well these last 2 weeks, or we haven't got the running game going these last 2 weeks. Thought it was better versus Tampa. We just didn't get a big one. But, I mean, the speculation on Christian, I think, is a little bit unfair to him. Christian's playing very well. He's playing his ass off. But to think a guy who misses an entire offseason is just going to be the exact same the day he gets back would be unfair to any player in the world, I feel like. I mean, guys who miss offseasons and miss training camp, usually it takes them a little bit of time at the beginning of the year to get back into how they were the year before. Let alone missing half the season also on top of that. So I think Christian's doing a hell of a job. But to just think him coming back in week eight with not being able to do anything for the last 9 months or whatever it is, and to think he's just going to be in MVP form is a very unrealistic expectation.
When you watch him, is it more physical things that he's still trying to get back, or is it just vision, or is it maybe a little bit of everything?
I think he looks real good. I think he's playing very well. I don't think he's had a bunch of clean lanes. I think he had a couple versus, when I say a couple, I actually mean two versus Tampa, and if he hits those two, which maybe is just half a step off just with seeing it, but you hit those two, and it'll completely change yards per carry, which will look better from an outside perspective, but it won't change anything in actually what's happening. So to sit here and talk like he's struggling, not going to do that at all, but for us to be disappointed that he's not exactly how he was or just right in MVP form, that'd be unfair with any player.
Pretty matter of fact and direct approach in times when you're winning. I'm curious, do you think when times you're struggling like now, do you choose your words differently? Do you want to be the same guy every day, or how do you approach that?
I don't plan anything really like that, and I don't like turn to page chapter 4 in a book and say how to act this week. I look at what's happening. I look at who we're playing. I look at every situation that it is, and that's the stuff I address. Like, it's not a movie. I'm a football coach, and I address our team for the reality that we're in. And the reality that you're in isn't a story. It's what we see on that tape. It's what we do in practice. It's what our situation is with injuries. It's who we're playing. And that's really what you do day in and day out for an entire season, for preseason, offseason, to winning, to losing. It's really all the same. You just coach and we'll do everything you can to get everyone's skills right.
Christian seems like a guy that takes maybe his lack of production very personally. He sat in his locker for about 15 minutes after the game on Sunday. And do you have to talk to him and make sure that he's okay mentally?
And that's what makes Christian great. I mean, Christian, I've told you guys, he's a psycho in the best way possible. I mean, Christian had a fumble there at the end of the game. He, no matter what I say to him, he's not going to forgive himself for a fumble for probably the rest of his life. He'll still be mad at himself for that. That's just how he rolls. That's his mindset and everything. I mean, you should see him in OTAs if he drops a ball and how he acts after that. And apologizing to us later in the day for a dropped ball in OTAs on period one. So, like, that's what makes him great, and it means a lot to him.
Take two more.
John, you're 5-6. Now we're glad to be in this situation. You're shocked to learn you're being criticized. You should do this. You should do that. When you look at your performance, this season, how would you improve yourself, or like, how are you doing?
That's up to you guys to grade me. I work as hard as I can to get a win that week, and we haven't won as much as I believe we should have. We've lost three games that I feel we were capable of winning and should have won. Those are the ones that are the toughest. In terms of grading myself, I'm not going to grade myself. I'm going to work as hard as I can, and I'm the same guy I am right now that I've always been. We got to overcome some things that we're in right now, and I believe we can overcome them, but we put ourselves in a tough bind, and that's why we got to be extremely good and successful here going forward to be able to overcome that stuff.
There's a lot of people online who are saying a lot of things. I know you don't always look at that, but a lot of those people aren't in your locker room. What do you make of the vibe in your locker room right now?
The vibe in our locker room is, I mean, exactly how you would think it'd be. I mean, we're upset with where we're at in our record, but we got a tight group and we play together. And I mean, I think if you live in the world online, it's whether you're dealing with our profession or your kids dealing with social issues in school. I mean, that's, you're not going to be happy if you're dealing in a world online. And I've definitely coached long enough that I don't deal in that world. Only online I look at is usually movie stuff and rap battles and funny things that animals do. So it's good or bad. When you listen to the good stuff, like, that'll mess you up more than anything. And then when you listen to the bad stuff, it'll crush you. So that's not why any of us do this. And you know, you got to work with younger guys on that. I think it's harder just because of the world that they've been brought up in. But that's, don't make someone else's reality your reality. You got to focus on what your job is and never get away from that.
Brandon Allen and Ricky Pearsall must not have had a lot of reps together, but Pearsall wasn't targeted in the game. Is he getting open as well as you like? I mean, where has he been the last few weeks as far as?
I think he's been fine. I mean, it doesn't work out that way. I mean, they played, when you talk about getting open, I mean, I talk about getting open as in, do you beat man coverage? He played two snaps of man coverage in that game on our drive at the end of the third quarter where we went down and scored, and they didn't do it after. So that's about high-lowing people. When they play deep, you check it down. It's about getting screens to people is really the only way you can dictate they get a touch. But when you go to zone defenses, I don't really look at that as can guys get open. It's how are we dispersing the field? What's the time to go through a progression? And do they catch it when we go to them and get up the field? All right, thanks, guys.
Kyle Shanahan, as he does every Wednesday, approaching the media, talking about, well, a myriad of things, yeah, which I do want to get into on the other side. When he talks about, however, social media and what it is that he looks on his phone.
Love it.
There's no doubt that man smokes a lot of marijuana in his free time. Rap battles.
Listen, it's funny because I feel like Kyle is using the internet from 2008, where, right, I still think, right, it's all cat videos. Right. Right. And honestly, that's a good thing. Like, I don't want my head coach being online. You want him to be as offline as possible. And I do think that's actually a really healthy perspective. And I do think they have struggled with that a little bit with young guys like Ayuk, especially, like, this whole offseason.
Yeah.
It was like, just turn off the phone, man. And right, he was just doing so much online stuff that made these negotiations way harder than they had to be.
Right.
And I think every single year you get Gen Z guys who you're just...
Kyler Murray.
You've been, yeah, on your phone your whole life, and that rewires your brain, and it's a tough thing to deal with.
Kyler Murray had it written into his contract.
Wow.
The guy, what's the video game? Wow. Of Kyler
Call
Murray?
Duty. Call of Duty.
That he could play it?
He
could not. They did not. They monitored the number of hours that he could actually watch during the weekend or the month.
Yeah, wow. And he had to make sure he did like a certain amount of time watching film, and then it got out and they erased it from his contract. Really good.
Wow.
Look.
Wow. Wow.
All right, so I do want to... Do we have enough time to get into this? Because I there's a lot I want to talk
about.
Yeah,
there's a lot I want to talk about.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yes.
All right, well, just really quick before we get to the break. I'm so glad that he talked about McCaffrey because he echoes my sentiment. Great minds think alike.
Yeah.
Shanahan and the kahuna.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. I thought he was absolutely 1,000%.
Okay, hold on. You were supposed to laugh at that.
Oh, ha, ha, ha.
One
ha,
second.
Ha.
Because the one thing that I've heard, Lo, is that, because I take this flight back from New York to San Francisco, and so I get caught, yeah, up on San Francisco. I know the knives, right, are out. Right. Everybody's trying to find out the secret sauce as to what's wrong with the Niners, right? Every coconut that's got a YouTube channel, a vlog, a blog, even on Sports Talk Radio, because it's sort of slippery. It's difficult to. It's not the Jets where you can say, "All right, well, it's management and or it's Aaron Rodgers, right, or right, Dak Prescott's hurt out in Dallas." The 49ers, there's just like a myriad of things, and you're not necessarily sure which one. One of which, because there's these sort of, and it gets really homogenous. And the one sexy one of late has been, well, Christian McCaffrey's not the same guy, and I want to see Jordan Mason and Isaac Garendo. All I heard for the first 3 months of the season was, well, the reason that the 49ers are not getting on track is because of one guy. That one guy is Christian McCaffrey. And the reason why the 49ers are struggling in the red zone are specifically about one guy, and that's Christian McCaffrey. When he comes back, and this isn't just local, but nationally, Rich Eisen, Dan Patrick, a lot of them just simply jumped on that bandwagon and said, watch out for the Niners. They're going to put it into overdrive. That's the team that's taken off when Christian McCaffrey comes back. Christian McCaffrey is now back, and all of a sudden, I got to giggle, all of a sudden, where's Jordan Mason and Isaac Garendo? Jordan Mason needs some carries. And I need to see this rookie out of Louisville, Isaac Garendo. It doesn't, I get it. We're looking to find out the reason why. But let me just tell you, and I want your thoughts low as well as you, Mr. Hutchinson. I forgot your first name for a second. Jake, we'll get back to you in just a sec. I want your responses on the other side, but I got to read like War and Peace here. They got me on Saturdays, I just get out of bed and bark, but I got to read this thing here. We are presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And Valvoline Instant Oil Changes is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. All right, safe holidays. Travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com, BayAreaOilChange.com. Jake Hutchinson, how are you, my man? Jake Hutchinson will be back. Lorenzo Neal, Danavone, we continue on 95.7 The Game, talking about Christian McCaffrey after this.